where we're going to be reading at, verse number 16. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods and laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Father, we love you. Thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness, for your mercies to us. Lord, we're thankful for new grace, Lord, when we need it. And Lord, I pray now that you bless this time of the reading of your word and pray for the message. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to leave challenged for your glory and for your honor. Well, thank you for all that you do in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Jesus mentions in Luke chapter 12 concerning this certain rich man. The picture that we see in our text is a very perfect picture of what the world would view as a successful individual. Living the American dream, if you would, but the Bible makes it very clear in verse number 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And I say to you this evening that there's no greater ambition as a child of God than to desire to be rich toward God, not rich towards men.
That's right.
Naturally, it would seem from looking in the outer realm, from looking from the outside in, as a passerby would come by and would see the beautiful fields and the beautiful crop and the beautiful fruits and the beautiful ground, the beautiful barns and all these different things, would label that individual as a great success. Was that this man has reached the climax. But unfortunately, this afternoon, the climax is not when you have everything that you think you need, because when you think you have everything you need, that's when you need just a little bit more.
That's right.
The world and what it will constantly be a vacuum that is pulling and trying to suck in more things and more valuable, precious things that we deem so important in this life, when all the while they're really not. And they fade and they go away. And the Bible says that moth and rust doth corrupt and the thieves break through and steal. And so therefore, the more things that we have materialistically, the more things we have to worry about and be concerned about those stealing and those things rotting and falling away. And so this is indeed not what the Bible would view as success. But I want you to see, first of all, just as we get into our thought this afternoon, the source of his blessing. The Bible says in verse number 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 7 says, So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. It is the ground of the certain rich man that brought forth plentifully. It was not this man. He had absolutely nothing to do with it. Sure, maybe he was involved in the sowing process, or maybe he was involved in the watering, but the Bible says that God is the one that gives the increase. And so anything good that's going to come out of your life is going to come from God and God only. And so he never acknowledges that his blessings were not his to merit whatever he wanted for. And so an unthankful heart breeds selfishness, as if God owes his blessings to us. But God, I say to you this morning, owes us absolutely nothing. And we don't deserve any of the blessings of God. We don't deserve anything that he grants us. Anything that we have in our lives here on this earth is simply the goodness and the grace of God, something bestowed to us that we do not deserve. And so a good crop yield was nothing short of the goodness of God. And so not only was the source of his blessings from God and God only, but the size of his blessings is seen here, that it brought forth plentifully. And God will oftentimes do things like that for his children, and even for those that do not serve him. Oftentimes will he bestow great blessings on those people, whether it's through a great inheritance or whether it's through possibly just having a good year where things are are just going great, and maybe the taxes weren't as much this time as what it was last time, and so we're living very high on, and everything seems to be going great, so we want to buy new furniture, we want to buy new things for around the house, and that's not necessarily wrong within itself, but when we put our priorities in the wrong place, that's what this individual's problem was that he did not prioritize his goods wisely. And so we see that his blessings were great and they were very plentiful. And so then we see that he comes to the secret of his blessings, where the Bible says in verse 17 that he thought within himself. And the Bible simply says that in everything we should give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But he doesn't give thanks to God. He never shows appreciation for what God has blessed him with. And not only that, but Proverbs 12 and verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. But this individual doesn't go and seek counsel for what he should do with the remnants of his blessing, but instead he begins to mill in himself and starts to think about what can I do that can benefit myself better. I'm not going to seek counsel and ask others around me how I can better benefit from the goods that has been bestowed upon me, but I'm going to indulge them upon myself. And so we see that he keeps this secret, but God knew what this man was thinking in his heart, and it really was not a secret to begin with, because he's revealing the fact that this man was thinking within his heart what he should do with the leftover blessings. We not only see the secret of the blessing, but the scrutiny of his blessing, where he says, I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Proverbs 16 and verse 3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. This man had a constant question mark behind everything that he was doing in his life. And the Bible already mentions that he was already a rich man, and so he already didn't lack anything. But then he gets a little bit more gain and a little bit more goods and a little bit more this and a little that. And he's still asking the question, what shall I do with my goods? His thoughts were not established. And so this man's thoughts were not established because he committed his works to himself, losing sight of the blessing and only focusing on greater barns. At this point, the rich man could have turned this thing around, and he could have simply said, since I don't have room, then I'll share my blessing with someone else. Really, if you look here at the end of verse 17, his question could have led him down two totally different paths. But instead, he decided that he would choose the self-indulged path, where he would simply take all of his goods, all of his blessings, and simply bestow him to himself instead of to others. And every one of us finds a cross point in our lives where we're forced to ask the question, what should we do with the goods that God has blessed us with? And every one of us sitting here this evening or this morning, God has been very good to you. And you have you've been able to drive in a vehicle. You've been able to put on a nice outfit, and you've been able to come to the house of God on a Wednesday morning. Praise God for all of His goodness and all of His blessings. But God never gives to us what He does not intend to give through us. God intends for us to be able to take the blessings that He's bestowed upon us and to distribute them and be a blessing to others around us in need. And the Bible at this point shows us that this rich man could have turned this thing around and given it to someone else, as if none must be bestowed upon the poor, as if none to the Levite or the stranger, the fatherless, the widows, to missions, or rather to those that are in need, but to his greater barns. Verse 18 tells us, he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. We see the squandering of his blessing. He never asked that God would direct him to bestow his blessing where God willed it to be. A person who is selfish with their blessings are very unhappy, they're very miserable individuals who worry constantly about the well-being of their wealth. These barns, in verse number 18, suggest that this man was spiritually unmovable, meaning that all of the materialistic things bound him to this earth. He was spiritually unmotivated. He had absolutely no motive whatsoever to please God with his bestowed blessing. Amen. He was spiritually unmindful of others around him that may be in need. And so four things this greater barn would do, and we're preaching basically on the subject of barns or blessings.
Amen.
But barns, this morning, is just a symbol of temporal. That's all they are. This man had this idea that if he was to tear down his barns and he was going to build greater, then somehow that was going to multiply the good things that was bestowed upon him. But that is really not the case at all. And we're going to look at that here very quickly and then we'll be done. But number one, these barns would eliminate his space. And I know what you're thinking, it would increase his space, but that's really just the opposite. Yeah. Though it would guarantee more space to store his goods, it would eliminate space possibly to produce more goods in the future. By building greater barns would require him to cut into field space. Bigger barns would no doubt take away from any room for more crops. And I ask you this morning this simple question, what good is a barn without a field? So oftentimes we get so caught up with just storing up goods and everything, we find ourselves not reproducing ourselves spiritually that others can be blessed.
Amen.
We're hoarding up so much, we don't have any more room within our hearts to be a blessing to others around us in need. Luke 12 and verse 34 says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This man was not worried about the future and was only gloating in what the present blessing would be.
Yes.
Eliminating his space. It would enlarge his stature. Greater barns would make me look more successful. Why could he not just simply add on to the barns that he had?
Yeah.
Because that might make him look weak. It may make him look poor. It may make him look desperate. But instead, I got to have greater barns. I got to have more things so people can look at my possessions and say, "Wow, what a successful individual that is." Because he wanted the best. It was just simply pride that motivated him to pull down his barns and build greater. There's a lot of individuals, especially in ministry, that do things like that, where they seek after people to follow them, and they view their success in ministry based on their likes on Facebook or their followers on their page or how much they can post and brag about all the things that they're able to do, and people that were able to look at all their successes and all the many things that they were able to do for God. And there's really no praise in that whatsoever to the God of heaven. There's a God in heaven that knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he understands where you're at and what you're doing to be successful for the goodness of God. And I do think that updates and things are important, but we put so much stock in just having someone stick their hand out and say, "Good job." And we're losing out on so many eternal rewards because we're just caught up in this temporal life. It enlarged his stature. It also gave him ease of self-sufficiency. The Bible said this, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry." This man had absolutely no use for God whatsoever. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Proverbs 14, verse 16 says that the fool is very confident. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says that he despises wisdom. Proverbs 10 and verse 10 says he shall fall. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 14 said that the fool walketh in darkness. But yet he believes that he is quite successful and does many wonderful and great things for God. That is not the case in this individual's life. But we see very quickly that these barns affected his soul.
That's right.
The Bible says, what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This man had the world at his fingertips. Everything that he could ever want. He had his dreams. He had his ambitions. He laid up, and the Bible says that he could store up his goods for many years. But what good are his goods for many years if he was not there to enjoy those good things?
That's right. Right.
The soul is immortal. It's separable from the body. His soul was in no wise interested in a barn full of corn or a bag full of gold.
Yeah.
His soul was not interested. His body, on the other hand, may have been, but this man had his soul confused with his body. Body is only just a temporal thing. And so Jesus uses this term soul to relay the idea that this man treats his body as if it were immortal. But I say to you this morning that the clock is ticking. Yes. Matthew 10 and verse 28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and hell, body and hell. As a result, this man's many years turned into just a night. The rich man's problem was that he never once took thought of what his life was, which reminds us of what the Bible talks about in James chapter number 4, where it simply asks that question, what is your life? Yes. And I find myself quite often these days asking that question, what is my life? What good is it if we're not laying up spiritual treasures? If we're not laying up things that are going to make an eternal difference? And the Bible gives us a very clear idea of how frail life is. How frail time is. How the Bible says it is only a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. That word or that phrase, a little time, is so vitally important. In Psalm 39 and verse number 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Everybody walks around with their chest poked out, talking about how they're just immortal and somehow they're great. Movie stars and sports stars and actors and actresses and all these different individuals walk around and just believe that they're just somehow above death. They're above the end. But unfortunately for them, that is just simply not the case. Job tells us that man is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. We count our lives so oftentimes by years. I'm celebrating another year. But I say to you, the Bible tells us that we're to number our days. Since our life is so brief, we cannot afford to casually spend our lives. As if we certainly cannot afford to waste our lives. But the gist of everything that we're talking about this morning is this, is that we are to invest our lives into eternal things. Seeing then that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And a proper perspective on the frailty of time would give you prudence, which is just simply discernment and action in conformity to reality. Amen. The fact of the matter is this, you're doing one of two things this morning. You're either building barns or you're building blessings. The blessings are eternal. The barns are just temporal. And you're doing one of the two things this morning. And I tell you one thing, this life is short. It's quickly fading. And just like this rich man, I don't want to find myself guilty of God saying, thou fool. Investing so much time, investing so much energy, investing so much money and everything into so many things that just absolutely do not matter in eternity. But what you give on this side, whether it's your time, whether it's your talents, whether it's your tithe, whether it's whatever the case may be, whatever it is, that is what is being invested on the other side. And let me remind you of this in closing. There is a judgment day coming when the Bible says that we will be rewarded for the deeds done in our bodies, whether they be good or whether they be bad. I got a lot of bad invested in this shell, but I want to redeem the time. Yes. And if you are anything worth anything for God, you ought to have that same question. And so the fact is God has put you in this place for such a time as this. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you so much for your people.